You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.
This is In Demand. I'm Alex.
I'm Lucy.
Welcome, Westlife.
Hello.
Yeah, they are great, man.
Right, so you guys are here to tell us about this HD performance you're doing for Sky.
That's right. Warts and all.
It's our first concert live on Sky in 10 years. So it's going to be a pretty exciting night. It's live
in
the O2 Arena.
You can see every last wrinkle, every last blemish.
Who takes the longest in makeup before a performance?
Mark.
Yeah?
I was told by our makeup artist this morning I have the best skin in the band.
Yeah?
She just wants a pay rise.
With all this high definition stuff, I've seen a gap in the market here for live airbrushing for some company somewhere.
Really?
To be able to...
you've seen the gap.
Have you ever heard of live auto-tune? We won't tell you about that.
No, you're going to see it. Mistakes are going to be out there. Warts and all, as Mark said. And it's HD, so we're going to look crap and sound crap and fall over and look silly.
No, you're not. Don't be silly.
No, we're going to try not to. We did a Sky box office in 2001, but I don't think they've done anything music-wise since.
Now, Lucy's made a really quite depressing connection to the fact that you're going to be playing Cawdor Castle. Is this right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be making history, of course. It's the first gig ever, which is quite cool, really.
It's very cool.
But it's also the place where Mark Owen got married. Things not going so great for Mark at the moment. And it's where Macbeth was set. So how are you going to turn Cawdor Castle's fortunes around?
So we're missing
that. We're going to raise everybody up on the night. There you go. And we're going to be flying without wings, isn't it?
Explain.
Lift the curse, you raise me up. I don't know. I thought it was a wee bit funny.
I think you should quote lines from Macbeth while you're on stage.
This curse is unbreakable.
We will do our best, you know. We're actually looking forward to all the gigs this year. You know, our tour this year is very exciting.
In Demand.
Now, last time you were on the show, we did end up talking about cleaning, which was a bit random. What's the most rock and roll thing you can tell us about? Because, you know, cleaning last time, we need something a bit more grrr.
Mark threw a chair out a window in LA.
Did you?
6 o'clock in the morning, 6 floors high.
I'm not proud of it.
He did get thrown out.
He actually got thrown out and barred out of the hotel.
Evicted.
And he threw it out of the 6th floor window, and it could have done serious damage down below if somebody was walking, you know, but they weren't walking.
It's actually highly embarrassing. I don't actually go around.
And it was actually a $500 chair.
Oh my god. I like that. That's a good one.
Everyone was really excited about the fact that you guys performed with Boyzone on the Stephen Gates.
Yeah, including us.
Did that feel weird?
Definitely was a bit weird. You know, like performing that song with Boyzone was a great thing because, you know, it's probably their version of, like, say, Fly Without Wings, their kind of biggest ballad or whatever.
Yeah.
But obviously the circumstances were very unfortunate and it was kind of bittersweet, the whole thing, you know. But it was fun in the end and I think we enjoyed it, you know. I think for a lot of reasons, including just doing the best show we could for Stephen's sake as well, I suppose, we just got on with it and really enjoyed the performance in the end, you know, so it was great.
Was it one of those things where afterwards you felt a little bit emotionally drained?
The interviews were a bit more draining because we were actually talking. Like, you know, once you kind of start singing the song, you can't think about much else other than, like, trying to sing properly, you know? It was the interviews before and after and stuff that were kind of strange talking about it and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. And who's going to be at boot camp this year with Louis? Because Ronan ruined it last year. I always look forward to one of you guys doing that.
Yeah.
And it was Ronan, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. I think it's either Mark or Shane's, or Mark or Nicky's turn this year.
Louis asked me about it last week, so I think I'd be doing it. So looking forward to it. I'm actually devastated I missed last year because it was Lake Como.
And had you been there, Shane, we wouldn't have had Jedwood maybe.
I put JLS through.
Did you?
Not a bad show. In fairness, though,
some of their royalties.
In fairness, though, it wasn't hard to pick them. In fairness, they were outstanding.
Yeah, exactly.
You started their career.
You know,
it's all down to you.
You could have ended it.
You've got competition now, boys.
I brought on our own competition.
You know what'll happen though? He'll ask you to do it, and you'll end up back in Dublin again.
In an apartment looking over the Liffey.
I think we need a band to win this year. I don't know what you guys would think about that.
Yeah.
But you don't need. It's not competition for you.
No, of course not.
Anyway.
It's not. It's great. I think the more pop music and bands like JLS, people like that, the more music that's out there, the better the industry is.
I don't ever see a band win. That's my God's honest opinion.
You don't ever want to see a band win.
I don't ever see a band win.
No.
I think a boy band could win it.
I think it will. I think there will be a band.
Without a doubt. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much for being on the show, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This is your In Demand.
You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight we are joined by Pat and Jimmy from the band Train. So hello and
hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hey.
They look good with their shirts off. Hello.
How are you?
Well, how are you?
We're very good and we're really excited that you're back, to be honest, because we missed you while you were away.
And to be honest with you, we were getting a bit sick of just playing Drops of Jupiter all the time.
I don't blame you.
But we needed more train.
This one's taken off superbly, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible, really. It's far bigger than Drops of Jupiter was. It's a weird time for us.
Officially your biggest song of all time now, isn't it, Hey Soul Sister?
Yeah, officially it is.
Do you think, seeing as Drops of Jupiter got itself 2 Grammys, do you think maybe we could be going forward with Hey Soul Sister for next year's nominations?
Well, I don't want to count on it, but if we don't win at least 5, I think there's something incredibly wrong with the world today.
Aim high.
Let's talk a bit about Drops of Jupiter. Was it one of those songs that just became a bit of an Achilles heel for you? Obviously, it was massively successful and did you huge things in terms of exposing you to the world. And I remember being in America, actually, in the summer of 2001.
Yeah.
And it was everywhere. You could not escape from it. And it became the soundtrack to that summer for a lot of people, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different story for Train in the United States than it is the rest of the world, because we had a song called Meet Virginia that was a really big hit before Drops of Jupiter. And and when Drops of Jupiter came, it trumped it so greatly that it became that we were this big pop band. And so it did so much for us, but also it was a big cloud that we had to live under because it was so massive. And then for the last few years, I think we were really trying to get out from underneath that cloud. I think we needed to regroup. So we took a couple of years off from each other and this band, and having made a few records after Drops of Jupiter, you know, we needed to focus on stop writing records for radio and write them for ourselves. Like, we need to make music for ourselves that maybe other people will love.
Exactly. And it's one of the most upbeat songs of the year. And from the minute we heard it, we loved it straight away because it just makes you think of summer. It's nice.
Yeah, the ukulele. Jimmy will blast away that ukulele like nobody's business.
In demand. Now, the album is called Save Me San Francisco. Obviously, San Francisco, a big part of your lives, not just as people, but as a band, of course, as well. So is this your kind of tribute back to the city?
Yeah, you know, in a lot of ways, I think it is. You know, we took the time off, as Pat said, and when we came back, we kind of, you know, we felt re-energized and rejuvenated, and it kind of felt like back in the early days when we started touring together, we were happy again and kind of found the joy in spending time together and writing and playing music together. And a lot of the stories and lyrics that Pat wrote were stories of our time back then in the Bay Area. And it just made sense to call the record Save Me San Francisco.
And when you did have your sort of split for a few years, was it weird not seeing each other every day? Because it must have been. You must have spent so much time together and then to all of a sudden just have this time apart. I guess it must have been refreshing in some ways, but in other ways, it must have been quite hard for you.
Yeah, I would say the first, we took a 3-year break, and I would say for the first 2 years and 11 months, it was bliss.
I like that.
But then that last month, we were like, hey, miss you guys.
Hey,
well, not you, but you.
Yeah, you're all right, but not about you. Yeah.
If people were to go to San Francisco and they've never been before, obviously there's kind of standard touristy things to do, the Golden Gate Bridge, all the big parks and, you
Alcatraz.
Know, the hippie area, Alcatraz, of course, and the sea lions.
The hippie area, yeah. Street.
But what are the ultimate guide to San Francisco from Train? It's your city. Maybe 2 or 3 places you would advise people to go that you wouldn't read in a guidebook or something.
You know what I enjoy a lot is just wandering around North Beach. It's the Italian part of San Francisco, and there's just a really quaint little cafes and restaurants. I love North Beach.
Okay, so I guess the food's really good around there as well, because I'm all about food.
Yes.
If it's the Italian area, I'm there.
Yeah, you know, if you go to San Francisco, there's so much there just in that town. But if you go over the Golden Gate Bridge, you can go to where, you know, the greatest wines on earth are from Napa Valley. There's so much around San Francisco that isn't always ignored, of course, but it isn't mentioned when people talk about San Francisco. But, man, there's just a plethora of things to do. Just go.
I think we need to organize Alex and Lucy's little trip to San Francisco, meet you guys over there, go for some food in the Italian area, and then go try some wine.
Well, call it the Save Me San Francisco tour that you do. because that's what we did. And then, you know, then maybe you could sell us some records while you do it.
Hey, we're selling your records every night. We are massive on this
song. We are playing this song every single night. We have been for about a month, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the record, the album, the entire album comes out on the 17th of May. So that's exciting.
You're going to do festivals?
No, they're going to do a tour. But are you doing any festivals this year?
You know, I'm not sure. We've got a lot of places to visit. We're literally touring the world. But we'd love to do some of the big festivals here because they're some of the best in the world.
Do you know what the thought of you guys performing Hey Soul Sister at Glastonbury while it's peeing down with rain would just lift everyone's spirits?
Yeah. It would be insane.
They've gone silent. Maybe you're already doing it.
Our motto is we'll do anything for $1 million.
Okay.
What? I think that's quite it.
Get Lucy to get a checkbook out later.
I don't know where I'll find $1 million from.
See what we can make them do.
Yeah.
You know what? $100 is fine.
Oh, that's all right.
Okay,
then.
So we'll make you do a bungee jump.
About 80 quid here as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all right.
The exchange rate's okay. We'll do that.
That's right. Thank you very much, guys. It's amazing to have you back.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand. I'm Alex.
I'm Lucy.
And this is Lee Ryan.
Hello! Hey. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
I think what most people would say is the first time they heard the new single, they'd be like, that's not Lee Ryan.
Yeah, that's what everyone keeps on saying.
Because
we all want an army of lovers again or Turn Your Car Around or something like that.
Which I thought were good songs. I mean, but they weren't me. I didn't write them. I wrote Secret Love with Johnny Douglas, who is George Michael's producer. Me and him got in with each other and just jammed it out. But he let me kind of take control of the lyrics and kind of where I was going with it. So it was so nice to actually own something and be so proud of it. And even if people don't like it, I'm like, well, you know what? I've written it and it's something I believe in and it's a part of me.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? So if you like it and you're happy with it, that's what happens.
And there was a quick turnaround on the back of Blue sort of going their separate ways and you releasing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They were trying to get on the back of the whole Blue thing.
Well, Lucy was saying she saw you at a gig and you had to rest halfway through.
Yeah, Nottingham Arena years ago, and you literally had to, halfway through the gig, you had to just leave the stage because your voice had just gone.
Yeah, they pushed me hard and didn't really care. Record labels, all they care about is selling records. At least I've got this album and it's mine and I've written it, and the songs that are on the album that I haven't written, I've chosen.
Older and Wiser, maybe.
Yeah, my favourite saying is this donkey's been up and down the beach too many times.
And now more responsibility because you're a dad as
well. Yeah, I'm a daddy. No, I don't mean I've grown up anymore, but like...
No,
I mean,
that's an excuse to be a child.
Yeah, I know, it's great. That's what I mean. It's like, I can't wait to start climbing trees with him.
How old is he now?
16 months.
Oh, bless him.
So sweet. Hopefully he's going to have my vocal cords, which would be good because he can go out and earn me some money.
Plans for any more at the moment, or is it a case of... do the solo stuff, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's. I think there's so much going on right now. I'm happy. I'm happy and content where I am. The song Perfect Strangers, it is about that. It's trying to find time to be a dad, trying to find time to be in this career because it's such a... aim towards a young lifestyle, and I don't want to do that. I've done it. I've been there. I've got the jumper, let alone the t-shirt. And I'm really happy right now being a dad, and I'm really happy in a relationship, and I'm happy making the music which I've always wanted to make. I will get back in Blue, by the way. I know that's coming. So yeah, we are going to do another album. It's just everyone getting the time, and we're talking at the moment, and you know the boys are really supportive of this project, and they're like, Lee, do it. Because they know that when I did that last solo album, it wasn't me.
You weren't that happy.
Yeah. So they said, like Simon said to me, I know you've got to get out of your system. Just do it and then come back and do Blue. And then you go off and do another solo album. Yeah. And I'm like, brilliant. It's so nice to have that support.
The good thing about all four of you is you know that it requires all four of you.
Yeah.
Even though you haven't been around musically for a few years, you have done things like Come Dine With Me.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen.
Brilliant.
So if you were going to cook me and Alex a 3-course meal...
What would it be?
Yeah. We'll eat anything.
Okay.
We're not vegetarian.
Yeah, we're massive carnivores.
Yeah? Yeah. All right. I'd make... My favourite thing, which I made on Come Dine With Me, is honestly, which is the most simplest thing, is like a fondue, but like a camembert, what you make with white wine. Called it thyme, but apparently it's thyme.
Thyme, yeah. But it's the way it's spelled, right?
yeah, exactly. And then just put it in the oven with some boiled potatoes. Lovely. I don't know. I'll make a mean risotto. I'm just saying what I made on Come Dine With Me. But you're just the one. Pony. I don't know, steak, a nice fillet with some mushroom sauce.
Yeah, a bit of red wine in the jus. But Come Dine With Me, you came joint first. So
I know, I should have come first because I I scored Linda Barker too high, but yeah,
well,
I was
that's
being
what everyone
nice.
Does with her.
At least Michelle Heaton didn't win. I was, you know, she's lovely.
She's also best mates with Katie Price, and we're not her fans.
Yeah, we're not.
The one thing that Katie Price does have is her own reality show. Would you ever consider doing that? Because I think you'd be brilliant because you're funny.
Yeah, but I also say stuff that I shouldn't say sometimes, and in a reality show, you know, you can edit that.
Yeah.
and you know, you can put yourself up for. Like people always say, you'd be good on like Celebrity Get Me Out of Here and stuff, and I would do it.
You
it's
would
a laugh.
Be good on that.
I'd probably do that one if I got the right money. I'm not shallow. I'm just business minded.
But let's be honest, they are going to put you in a jungle full of creepy crawlies and try and feed you some of those. So if I was you, I'd be like, yeah, give me some cash for that.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, I'd go for it. I'm not shy in any way. It's boredom that'll do my head in. First single don't do too well, then I'll see you on the Celebrity Get Me Out of Here.
Like, there he is.
I'll see you in November.
Would you do the obligatory singing around the campfire?
Yeah, definitely. And then write a song and then release it when I come out.
Good luck with the album, mate. Thank you. Confessions. Good luck with the single.
Thank
as
you
well.
Very much. Thank
Lee
you.
Ryan,
cheers.
Thank you.
This is your In Demand.
Last week on In Demand, we played you the brand new song from JLS. It's called The Club Is Alive. And to introduce it on the show, we spoke to Marvin from the band Live and Direct in New York.
This is your In Demand.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
We're very well, thank you. I could hear you humming away to yourself then before we answered.
You sound a bit knackered, mate.
I haven't long got up. I'm in New York at the moment.
How is the Big Apple?
It's good. Yeah, it's all good. We started writing the second album about 6 weeks ago, and we spent a lot of time in New York and LA writing, so it's going really well.
Is it nearly finished now, then?
I would say all of the demos are nearly done, because what we do is you go into the studio and you record, obviously, all the ideas and the demos and stuff, and then the label listens to all the demos, and you pick sort of the album tracks from that, so we'll still have to go back and re-record everything. But most of the demos are nearly done now. We've got about 3 weeks left of recording, so...
Oh, exciting times. Can you tell us who you've worked with on the album?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yesterday was with Jay Sean.
Wicked.
In New York. He's doing really well over here. He's killing it. He's like number one for 6 weeks.
Yeah, so. He did, didn't he?
Yeah, and we did a track of him, which went really well. And we're in with Stargate on Tuesday and Wednesday. They're the guys behind all of Neo's big hits, like Closer and So Sick. And
nice.
So, Marvin, apart from the producers, who you've now named, can you name who, in fact, leaked the song over the weekend?
Yeah, how did that happen with The Club Is Alive?
I don't know.
How annoying.
The track gets sent out to, obviously, loads of radio stations and to reviewers and people like that, and all it takes is one person just to put it on the net.
God damn them.
I know. Well, we knew it was on there on Friday, and we wanted desperately to play a little clip, but we said, no,
we're not going to.
We're going to be good to our boys.
Saving it for you to introduce it tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the skills, you see.
Let's talk about the song itself, because it is a massive club banger, as I would describe it. It's huge. there's a lot going on. It's definitely one for everyone to get up and dance to. So how did the whole idea for the song come about in the first place?
The song was produced by Steve Mack, who produced Beat Again.
Yeah.
And obviously he, you know, he'd been looking for, you know, a track to come back with for us after the success of Beat Again. And, you know, it was going to take something special to do that. And the writer of that track, a guy called Sarvan, he wrote a few tracks with Britney Spears. He's always had this idea about Sound of Music. And, you know, they put it to us and was like, yeah, it's a huge, you know, put it the biggest musical of all time.
Did you worry to start with when you heard
definitely.
The Sound of Music?
Like, how are you going to convert that to a JLS song? And, you know, they was like, we'll leave it with us. And they got down to business and they played it to us and instantly was like, yeah, they smashed it. It was wicked. So we recorded it and luckily it's all sort of worked. So, you know, it's all good. Do you like it?
We absolutely love it, Marvin. It's brilliant.
Oh, that's nice.
Literally, I played it and I just wanted to put it on repeat again and start dancing around the office, but I knew I'd get a few funny looks. So I was like, okay, I'll save that for when I get home.
When are we gonna get to see a video, dude?
The video... I'm not entirely sure when it's going to be on TV. We shot it about 2 weeks ago, so we're going to start seeing it probably this week.
Now, there are some good dance moves that I can copy, as usual.
Of course.
Excellent.
Of course there are.
Where did you shoot it?
We shot it in a club in LA, obviously.
Naturally. How does it differ, obviously, being in a country like the US from being back here? Because obviously you can't even step outside your front door here without people following you and going, Marvin, I love you, and trying to rip your clothes off. But in the US, what's it been like over there? Because I'm guessing you're getting more well known, but at the same time, are you enjoying a bit of privacy?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, there's two sides to it. You know, one side, yeah, it's a lot calmer. You know, we can all four of us walk around and go shopping together and hang out together, and we don't, you know, hardly anybody knows us. And then also, you know, make sure you appreciate everything we got back home. You know, we'll see how it all goes. We're having a great time over here, and we're looking forward to getting back in a couple of weeks and start promoting the club as Alive. So
we'll be back here in a couple of weeks, which I'm sure, yeah, Rochelle will be very happy about as well.
I'm sure she will, yeah.
We saw those pictures. It was so cute.
What pictures?
Well, you two out in LA together, her flying over to see you.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it?
That was lovely.
Yeah, you know, it gets lonely over here for 6 weeks, you know?
Aww.
Family as well. We miss loads of family, you know. Obviously, all of us are very close to our family and stuff. And if it wasn't for Skype, we would be, a loss.
I was going to say, I bet you've been using Skype all the time.
Yeah.
Tonight on the show, we've been asking our listeners what they're scared of. Apparently, Kylie has a massive phobia of coat hangers, which is a bit weird. So we thought we'd ask you, Marvin, whether you've got any or any of the other lads from JLS have.
I've got a bit of obvious phobia. I'm not a fan of heights.
Really?
Nah, when we've done a lot, obviously we're in New York and a lot of studios are so high up and the windows are right up to the edge. And it kind of freaks you out a bit. And when we did, we abseiled down this huge tower in London called Trellick Tower.
Right.
And it was like, it's about 50 stories and we abseiled down it and that freaked me out. So, I mean, that's a bit of an obvious one. Aston not hates, but he's got a phobia of dogs.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, it just doesn't really...
Does he like cats instead?
Not really.
I better not invite him round to mine then, because I've got cats.
I think cats are a bit better than dogs, but I think he got chased by a dog when he was a kid or something.
It's so funny, isn't it, how people like remember these things that happen to them when they're children, and even when they're older, they're like, no, I don't like them.
I know.
So yours is heights, Aston's is dogs.
Yeah, the other two, I don't know.
They're just pretty normal.
JB's got a phobia of the morning.
I think we've all
got
that.
He likes his sleep, doesn't he?
And Arisha, I'm not sure.
What are you going to do once you've finished talking to us tonight? What's the plans for New York this Monday?
We've got studio again today, so we're just going to be getting ready to go to the studio and work on some new songs.
Good luck with everything you've got to do out there still, and we can't wait to see you back.
Thanks, Marvin.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
We'll see you soon. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.